Gemara Masechet Tainus in Daveis of Daveis comments on the pasuk that we say in the Kriya Shema Avodah B'chol Devalchem Ezri Avodah Shebelev Aviyom Ezot Tefillah. What is an example of an Avodah that one does in one's heart? Usually the term Avodah in Halacha refers to Avodah Sakarbanos, but you wouldn't call that an Avodah Shebelev. That's an Avodah Idemaisim. You do that with actions. So what kind of Avodah does Halacha have that requires an Avodah Shebelev? It must refer specifically to Tefillah to Davening. So there is a machlokas Rishonim, how exactly to interpret this Gemara. The Rambam took this Gemara very literally, and the Rambam understood that the mitzvah of tefillah is really a mitzvah min haTorah. How often does one have to do this mitzvah min haTorah? The Rambam says once a day. The Rambam seems to have a cloud that when you have a mitzvah that the Torah doesn't give us a specific time to do it, or the Torah doesn't give us a specific event that requires that mitzvah. So let's say, for example, the mitzvah of eating matzah, the Torah links it to a specific day on the calendar. The mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, the Torah links to a specific day on the calendar. See, the other mitzvahs like Kansipur, the Torah says that if and when you find a nest, so then you have a mitzvah for sending away the bird. So you have certain mitzvahs which are linked to days, and certain mitzvahs that are linked to events. Then you have certain mitzvahs which are given just tam. That's the law of the B'chol Levavchem. So how often is it supposed to be open Hashem B'chol Levavchem? So the Rambam seems to understand that that's once a day. The Rambam might be in a B'chol Tefillah, that once a day, every day, there's a Chi of the Araisa to actually daven. And the Rambam elaborates upon this and says, that which we daven three times a day, we daven a set nusach, and daven an aminyan, and a shul, and all the details that we know as mitzvah of tefillah. So the Rambam says those are all midirabanan, but the concept, the basic chi of the arayis exists, and the shir of the dover is once a day, every day. The Ramban takes issue with the Rambam. The Ramban, there's a comment on Sefer Mitzvah, says that it's not true, that there really is no mitzvah of tefillah the arayis, so all the b'chol levavchem doesn't really mean that. When the Gemara says no tefillah, it's in asmach, it's just midirabanan. What does it really mean? Love the B'chol Avachem means to do all the mitzvahs with all gusto, with heart, with excitement, with gishmak, with kavana. Doesn't really mean a specific mitzvah of the mitzvahs tefillah. Then at the end, the Ramban writes that even though he disagrees with the Rambam, he holds that there really is no mitzvah of tefillah min haTorah, at least not on a daily basis. Afal b'chein, the Ramban writes that you shouldn't think that tefillah doesn't exist at all min haTorah. He suggests, as the Ramban, that tefillah does exist with the araisa, but not the way the Rambam understood it as a daily obligation, but rather the mitzvah of tefillah, the araisa, is like a response type of a mitzvah. The same way you have certain mitzvahs that are linked to events, so tefillah is also that type of a mitzvah. And what type of an event warrants tefillah, the araisa, says the Ramban? He thinks it ace tzara. Whenever you have a particular tzara, whenever there's a particular need, there's some kind of a dire emergency that takes place in a person's life, so then there becomes a chiyuv of tefillah d'araisa. What's the source for this idea to link tefillah to ace tzara? So the Ramban writes that he thinks it's based on the parasha of tekiyah chatzotzros. We know the Torah tells us, when you have a war or a tzara tzoreschem, other types of great needs, other types of potential emergencies. So the Torah says, "Bariyosu the chatzotzos." He's supposed to blow the chatzotzos. So the Ramban understood that the tkiyas chatzotzos is a form of tefillah. He's supposed to blow the trumpets in the time of milcham, at the time of shas tzara. And then his karatim with neshem mokeichem, those chatzotzos will be a way for Kadosh Baruch Hu to remember us, which is in effect the same idea as tefillah. So says the Ramban, we derive from parshas chatzotzos that the Torah accepts this concept of eis tzara, and the Torah requires us a tkiyah the eis tzara. And the Mela says the Ramban, so that translates for us to tefillah as well. The person has to daven when there's a particular need. So you have a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, how to understand the nature of tefillah on the level of the araisa. According to the Rambam, it's a daily obligation. It's like kriyah shma, like tefillin. It's part of the daily routine of a shomer Torah mitzvah on the level of the araisa. And according to the Ramban, it's not true. According to the Ramban, there's no chiyuv to daven every day. According to the Ramban, if a person davens the eis tzara, that's a chiyuv. But to daven a shmo beis tzara, that wouldn't be a chiyuv the araisa. Yep, Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a chiddush. He suggests that even according to the Ramban, he says that there's no chiyuv of tefillah d'araisa, it's not an eis tzara, but he thinks it would be a kiyum hamitzvah min haTorah, that if a person does go ahead and daven, even if they're not eis tzara, so Shlomo Zalman said he can't believe that wouldn't be a mitzvah d'araisa. He said the Torah speaks about tefillah so many times. The others, that's all that we're doing. Vayikra Shem Avram v'shem Hashem. So there are two different interpretations of what that means. Some say Vayikra Shem Avram means that he set up a tshuva campaign. I mean, he went around telling people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the other pshat of Vayikra Shem means that he was carried to Shem Hashem. It means he davened. The Medav Ravina was davening all the time. Yitzchak was davening. Yaakov was davening. The others were davening. The Torah speaks so many examples of people who davened to the Rebbe Anishalom. So to say that the whole concept of tefillah is only the Eis Tzara is very hard to believe. So the Ramban said, Shlomo Zalman said, he thinks what the Ramban means is that the Chi of Gomer of tefillah d'araisa is only the Eis Tzara. Perhaps there would be a kiyum mitzvah even midaraisa, even according to the Ramban. But clearly, according to the Ramban, tefillah be'esara is different than Tefillah Shelo Be'Yisar. Tefillah Be'Yisar being elevated clearly to a Chiyuv D'Oraisa. It's based on this idea of the Ramban that perhaps we can now, when we approach the Tefillahs of the Yom Noroim, so we have to look at the Tefillahs of Yom Noroim very, very different than the Tefillahs of the rest of the year. A regular day, so Baruch Hashem, hopefully we shouldn't have too many Eitzaras, so most of the time, according to the Ramban, our Tefillah is really only Midrabbanan. We're not really Mechuyim Midaraisa to David. But when you have an Eitzara, then you are Mechuyim Midaraisa. So what could be a greater Eitzara than the Yom Noroim? A person's life is in balance. Miyichem Yomos. Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim Lefanav, and Rosh Hashanah, and then once again reopened on Yom Kippurim. So that's a tremendous Eisara. That's the greatest Eisara possible. So the Pasha says that according to the Ramban, the Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, the Tefillah on Yom Kippur, the Tefillah on Seres Mechuba, that's a Tefillah of the Eisara, and that would be required even on the level of the Araisa. Perhaps this additional dimension of Tefillah, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that has the status of an Eitzar, therefore we take it so much more seriously. We have so much more emphasis on that Tefillah and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because they're Mamash Hakim Tefillah D'Araisa. So perhaps this is the basis for a minhag that exists in many communities in terms of Yotzros and Piyutim and all kind of other things in the middle of the Tefillahs. So there was a major machlokes, the Rishonim already goes back quite a long time, about the addition of different types of poems and piyutim and all these different things that we find in the back of some of the Sidurim, in the back of some of the Machzorim. Are those things appropriate to be said or inappropriate to be said? So there was a machlokes of Rishonim, literally min akotza lakotza. There were many Rishonim who were of the opinion they can absolutely not allowed to say anything, that kolam Mishadim Rabesh, the Tavach Chachamim Brachas, that the Chachamim instituted the Nusach HaBrachas and the Nusach HaTfilah, and to go add in your own poems, as beautiful as a stirring and emotional as they may be, but Tachas, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to say any of these things. So there are Rishonim who held that all of these things are incorrect. You're never supposed to say any of the Piyutim, any of the Maravis and the Yetzis, and all the things that are printed sometimes in the back of the Machzorim. You're not allowed to say any of these things. And there were other Rishonim who not only said you're allowed to say them, there were many Shavarotim. It means the Balei and many of the Balei Taisus. Taisus refers to all the time. Taisus says, they'll quote you what it says in this Maravis. So most of us don't have no idea what those are talking about. Most of us don't even know what the Maravises are. So the Taisus will say, and in this Yetzir, Shasidah, Rabbi Pliny, Pliny, it says such and such. So for most of us, we read through those Tosim, and we take the Rashi's in Old French. We don't know it's from a different planet. So you see that many of the Balei Taisus actually wrote the Piyutim. So of course the Balei Taisus said the Piyutim during davening. So this was a Machlokes. So do we say that these additional Piyutim that weren't, that didn't exist in the days of Chazal, do they constitute a Hefsek in the Tefillahs or not? So for most communities today, so we take the approach that we don't say these things. Most communities don't say Yotzis, most communities don't say the Maravises. So for one of two reasons, either because for halachic reasons, it means we don't want to be Chayshesh, should be a Brach Lamatala, or for convenience reasons, that takes too long. So whatever it is, there are different reasons why most of our communities today don't say many of these Piyutim anymore. And nevertheless, in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so it's very hard to find a place that doesn't say Piyutim. Everybody says Piyutim. The overwhelming majority of the Tefillahs that we say at the Chazal Shabbos is all Piyutim. All those things don't come from the days of the Gemara. They don't come from the Tkuva of Chazal. They come from the period of the Gaonim and the Rishonim. So all the things that when the Sada Toikef, that's a Piyutim. That's something that doesn't exist, didn't exist in the days of Chazal. So the question is, should we be saying all these things or not? So L'chair, we have to be a little bit consistent. I mean, if all year long we don't say any of these things, half on my high, there comes Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so everybody says all these things. So perhaps the reason is that because of this additional dimension of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur being a Yom Tefillah, so we enhance Tefillah Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It means the rest of the year, so basically we daven Shmoneh, that's it, no more, no less. Whereas in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so because of that unique dimension as being a Yom Tefillah, so Yom Tefillah warrants us to daven even more, and even more, and even more, and that's a Kiyum HaDavah, that's a greater Kiyum of the Tefillah Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The more we daven, the longer that we daven. I'm not advocating draying and schlepping davening in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not days when you start to chisel away what you say. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are days when one faket is supposed to be more ma'arich on Tefillah than in any other time of the year. Whether or not this translates to Maisa to saying certain piyutim, there's a further machlokes in the poskim. What about the piyutim in the middle of Brichas Kriya Shema? So there are many communities that even though they say all the other things in the Chazal Shas, but they leave out the piyutim in Brichas Kriya Shema. But the piyutim in Brichas Kriya Shema are perhaps a more significant problem because there you're mamish interrupting the bracha itself. I mean, you're saying Yotzer very choshev, then you're saying 20 pages about everything else. Although it's minyan of the yom, it's minyan of bracha, but perhaps that's already considered to be you have six. Yeah, different communities have different minhagim. Some have the minhagim of saying all these yaitzis and maravas and everything all year long. That's one extreme, like the Balei Taisus. Then you have within those communities that don't say all these things, but some on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur we do say more than usual. And some say even the piyutim in the Birchas Kriyishma, many skip them. Many say the piyutim in the Chazaras Hashatz that they do say, but within the Birchas Kriyishma itself that they do not say. But this whole idea of saying more and more tefillos on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that the Avnei Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is long enough. When we were little kids, we would always, there were two things you would always have a competition about. What time did you finish the Avnei Rosh Hashanah? What time did you say it or end? So that's correct. Both of those things are correct. Like Yitzias Mitzrayim is called a Barber Reza Meshuvach. It's supposed to be Ma'arich. And by tefillah and Rosh Hashanah, you're also supposed to be Ma'arich because of the unique aspect of Rosh Hashanah being an Eis Tzara. This idea that Rosh Hashanah has the status of an Eis Tzara, therefore the tefillah is elevated, so perhaps this expressed itself not just within the mitzvah of tefillah and Rosh Hashanah, but this expressed itself within the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah as well. So the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar, like many other mitzvahs, is a multifaceted type of a mitzvah. There's so many different dimensions to it. At the end of the day, the Rambam writes that Tekiyah Shofar is a gezeira, it's a chok, like many of the mitzvahs. At the end of the day, we don't really know what the reason, quote-unquote, for the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar is, but Afal Bichain, the Rambam himself understands that there's a possibility that Remez Yeshbo, that there are things that we can derive from the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva emphasizes the fact that Tekiyah Shofar is linked to the mitzvah of Tshuva. The Rambam gives this famous mashal, Ur Yesheda Mishnaschem, the same way that a person is sleeping, so he set an alarm clock, so the alarm clock goes off. Sometimes we hear it, sometimes we don't hear it, sometimes we hit snooze. But in theory, a person sets an alarm clock to wake them up from their slumber. So the Rambam says that Tekiyah Shofar also has that element of being ma'oras alev l'tshuva. So the Rambam saw the Rebbe's Yeshbo, the Rambam saw that the Moser Haskel was supposed to walk away from Tekiyah Shofar is that dimension of tshuva. So perhaps one can answer the Rambam, but that's one dimension to the mitzvah, but there are many facets to the mitzvah. Perhaps as an additional element of the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar, that Tekiyah Shofar really is an element of tefillah as well. And since Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tefillah par excellence, so therefore the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar, which of course is the mitzvah of the mitzvah Sayom, so the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar has a dimension of tefillah as well. That the mitzvah of Shofar is not just the Gezeirim, it's not just Xeris HaKosim, it's not just La'oras HaTshuvah, but it's also supposed to be La'oras HaTfilah. It's supposed to be a unique way that we communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know that this is true, that Tekiyah Shofar is in fact linked to Tfilah? So it's not so far from the Tekiyah HaTzeltzeros, that the Rabban already told us in Sefer Mitzvahs that the whole source for Tfilah D'Arayis for the Eis Tzara is the Tekiyah HaTzeltzeros. So the Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah has a lot of comparisons between Tekiyah HaTzeltzeros and Tekiyah Shofar. According to some Tanoim, in fact, the source for the amount of tkiyas that you have to blow comes from the tkiyas achatzotos, because it says tiske uvasariya, all the lashonos of tkiyah and trua appear by tkiyas achatzotos. So there's clearly a connection between the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar and the mitzvah of tkiyas achatzotos to such an extent that, in fact, the last pasuk that we recite in shofros in the musaf of Rosh Hashanah has nothing to do with shofar. It has to do with yom simchaschem of muadechem of Rosh Hashanah uskatem achatzotos. So there were many rishonim who were vehemently opposed to that pasuk. They weren't opposed to the pasuk chumash. I like the pasuk chumash, but they were vehemently opposed to using that pasuk as the last bracha, as the last pasuk to shofar, because you need 10 psukim, and all the psukim are supposed to mention the word shofar, and poof, that pasuk doesn't mention the word shofar. So some rishonim said it's taka wrong, you shouldn't quote that pasuk, you have to find another pasuk. So the rishonim who defended the practice, which ultimately became our practice today, of reciting the chatzaisos, so the rishonim write, well, tekiyas chatzaisos, tekiyas shofar, it's all the same basic thing, it's all tekiyas, it's all the same lashon. Hi, this is shofar, this is a silver trumpet and this is a ram's horn. That's true, that was a technicality, but the Ikaron is the same idea. So according to what we're saying, it's more than just the word Tekiyah, Tekiyah, Gzer Shava. There's a real similarity, there's a real deeper connection between the two, that Tekiyah's Chatzaitis is a form of Tefillah. According to the Ramban, that's the Tefillah, that's the Mokra for Tefillah in the Chumash. And Tekiyah Shofar is also a kiyum of tefillah. So this idea that there's an element of tefillah within the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar, this is not something that we're just making up, yesh me'ayin. This seems to be rooted in the very mitzvah itself, and the connection between Tekiyah Shofar and Tekiyah Chatzaitis. But if we look a little bit deeper at the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar, so we'll find many, many other things that seem to indicate this yisod, this idea that when we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, so Tekiyah Shofar is not just the chayk, not just the gzeira, and Tekiyah Shofar is not just, like the Rambam says, a call to tshuva, but Tekiyah Shofar is really that vehicle that we use to enhance that tefillah. That's the same way we daven to me, that the Shbarach should accept that tefillah as our words, that the Shbarach should accept that tekiyahs and ashvarim and atruas have a form of tefillah as well. One doesn't have to look too far in order to reinforce this yisod. One just looks at the shofar itself. So concerning the chefs of the shofar, the object that we use, this ram's horn that we use in the mitzvah tkiyah shofar, so the Gemara tells us in the third track of Masechus Rosh Hashanah, there was a machlekes atanoim, what type of a horn are we really supposed to use? Because the Torah doesn't say, the Torah says, Yom Teruah Yelachem, the Torah says you have to have a day of blowing. How do you know that blowing means with a shofar? Maybe it means with a trumpet. So the Pasuk says, Vayodav avart the shofar teruah, that it has to have a shame shofar. So what exactly is a shofar? So there was a machlekes atanoim, so there was some tanoim who said that even though there's a klal, kol shofar is ksheir, that really in ikra din, anything, any animal's horn would really be acceptable. But nevertheless, some tanoim said that we really should use specifically a straight horn. You should use not a straight horn on Rosh Hashanah. So you should use a horn from a chaya, from different types of animals that in fact have a straighter type of a horn. And other tanoim said, no, that it's more correct to use a ram's horn, which is bent. So that was the machlekes tanoim. Should you use a poshul or should you use a kofuf? So what's the svara for the mandiyama for that opinion who says you should use a kofuf? So the Gemara explains that kama de kaya finished night they tfei ma'alav. The Gemara says that when a person davens, when a person is subjugating themselves to the Rebbeinu Shalom, so you bend down, like Baruch Atah, when you bend to a Kiddush Baruch Hu, when you daven to the Rebbeinu Shalom, so you bend yourself down, you don't stand up like, I'm so proud in front of a Kiddush Baruch Hu, you bend a little cough, a little humility in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So the Gemara says that the shofar conjures up that image, that the shofar is bent a little bit, it doesn't stand up proud, it's bent a little bit towards that Kiddush Baruch Hu. So what kind of a mashal is that? What kind of that's a halacha? That because when a person davens to the Rebbeinu Shalom, they're supposed to be bent, so therefore the shofar is supposed to be bent, what kind of connection is that? So the answer is no, that's heinein advarim, that's exactly the soul that we're developing, that the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar is a kiyum of tefillah. So even the cheft of the shofar is davening. Not only are we davening, the shofar gufa is also davening. The shofar is in the has to look in the physical state like it's derech tefillah. The same way we bow before a Kiddush Baruch Hu, so the shofar also bows before a Kiddush Baruch Hu as well. So that idea that even the cheft of the shofar is supposed to conjure up the idea of tefillah, this fits in beautifully with the yisoid that we're developing, that shofar is not just a gzeira, not just a kol teshuva, but it's actually a kiyum of tefillah as well. This idea is also expressed in another halacha tekiyah shofar. Here I need the balei tekiyah to help me out on this one, so if I can give us, I don't know if we need a real demonstration, but the Gemara says that what would the halacha be if a person takes the shofar, and instead of blowing on the thin part of the shofar, he blows on the fat part of the shofar. And somehow, I don't know whether you can actually get a sound out there. Yeah, that won't work. But let's say Leotria somehow, I don't know, you figure out some kind of an answer to get something that comes out, so the Rishami says it's still not good. You're not going to be yaitzeh that way. Why? Why aren't you yaitzeh? So the Rishami says, because it says, Meitzah karasika amanev amechav ka, that we call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu from the Meitzah. Meitzah means from the straits, from the narrow area. So min ha-meitzah karasika, you have to call out to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam min ha-meitzah, from the narrow part of the shofar. That's what the Yerushalmi says. So what does that mean? Min ha-meitzah is a game, is a play on the poskim tehillim, min ha-meitzah karasika. So perhaps what the Yerushalmi means is the same idea, that just as min ha-meitzah karasika, just as when you dive into the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you call out min ha-meitzah, you call out min ha-makim, you call out from the low, from the when you're in a Shas Atzara, when you're in a Satzarech, you call out to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So who are dinami? This the Etzem Atkiyah is supposed to be Min HaMeitzah as well. So this Yerushalmi has found itself into our Nusach HaTfila before Tkiyah Shofar. Most communities have the custom of saying a whole series of Tzukim before Tkiyah Shofar. After you finish Amr Tzech with Nekarech Mizmar, and you say a whole series of Tzukim. So what's the significance of those series of Tzukim? So six out of those Tzukim, we know the significance. They're the Rosh HaTevas for Kras Satan, Koli Shamata, etc. The ones that spell out the Kras Satan, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should remove the Satan from us at the time of them blowing the Shofar. But what about the first Pasuk that we say? Min HaMeitzah Karasika, what do you say that for? What does that have to do with Tkiyah Shofar? It's a nice Pasuk, I'm all for it. So what's the connection between that and Tkiyah Shofar? Because that's the Rishami. The Rishami saw in the midst of Tkiyah Shofar the concept of Min HaMeitzah Karasika, that we call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Tkiyah Shofar, that the Etzem HaTkiyos is considered to be a form of Tefillah. So this connection between Rosh Hashanah being a Yom Tefillah and the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar enhancing our Tefillah, so we see this from the Shofar itself, we see this from the shape of the Shofar, we see it from the way how we hold the Shofar in our mouth when we blow, so perhaps we see this idea from the mitzvah of the Kolos as well, from the way that the Torah tells us that the Kol HaShofar is supposed to sound, so this also seems to indicate to us some kind of an idea of Tefillah. So we know the Gemara tells us at the end of Rosh Hashanah that the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar min HaTorah has really three components to it, that one has to blow a Tkiyah, which is just a straight Kol, coal. Then one has to blow a broken coal, which is the Torah calls a trua, and we have three different opinions whether it refers to what we call trua, we call shvam, trua. Some Rishonim say that all of them are technically kosher. The only reason why we blow all three is just to make everybody happy. No one should walk away Rishonim thinking they weren't yotzei. So you have to blow a tekiah, then you have to blow a trua, one of the three, and then you have to blow another tekiah at the end. The Gemara learns this out from Sufkim, and you have to repeat that at three different times. That's the mitzvah d'araisa tekiah shofar. Of course, we do a lot more than that. We blow each one of the permutations, and we blow again in the Shemoneh Esrei, and we blow afterwards. We're blowing away, so it's a long day for the Bala tekiah. But the Iker mitzvah d'araisa is a tekiah to a tekiah, tekiah to a tekiah, tekiah to a tekiah. So what's the significance of this unit, this grouping of tekiah, true tekiah? Does this have to conjure up any other images in any other area of halacha? So the Rambam tells us in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, when describing the mitzvah of tefillah d'araisa, so the Rambam tells us that there are three components of tefillah min haTorah. First is shevach, first is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there is bakasha, which is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our needs, and then there is hodaya, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for hopefully answering our needs, giving us what we need. There is a question how to read pshat in this Rambam. When the Rambam describes these three components of tefillah, whether the Rambam really means this is actually mid'araisa, that the Rambam's mitzvah d'araisa of tefillah, although it doesn't have a nusach and it doesn't have a zman, but it does have three components. That if a person davens min haTorah, so you have to have some kind of a mentioning of these three different aspects of tefillah. You have to start out with some derech shevach, then you have to continue with some bakasha, and you have to conclude with some hodah. We, of course, know Ashman Esri is structured on this idea of the Rambam, that the first three brachas are the tefillos of shevach, and then there's the tefillos of bakosh, and then there's the tefillah of the part of hodah. So there are some who suggest that perhaps the Rambam really means this min haTorah. Others suggest maybe the Rambam just meant it mid derabbanan. But we're going to go right now with the approach that the Rambam really meant this min haTorah. That this is the basic form of tefillah mid araisa. Tefillah means three different components. In order to be an acceptable tefillah on the level of Torah, you have to have these three different aspects. But perhaps it's this idea of shevach, bakosh, and hodoya, which is really what the tekiah trua tekiah is supposed to symbolize as well. That clearly the difference between the tekiah and the trua is obvious, that a tekiah is a sound that's straight. A tekiah is a sound that doesn't have the connotation of a person breaking down and crying, in contrast to a trua. Trua, the Gemara says, what is the translation of the word trua? So the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, the word trua means yavava, means a crying, means a sobbing. And that's where the two different opinions, or the three different opinions about what a trua is, came from. Because when people cry, they cry differently. Some people cry with a they cry three long groans, that's a shvara. And sometimes the person gets hysterical, the Amish can't catch a bit. That's trua. And some people start off with groans, and then they end up with groans, lead to, like the kids, you know, some kids, you know, can't catch his breath. So that's the trua, that's the shvara, that's the shvara trua, that's the yavava, that's the crying part of the shofar. So that aspect of tekiah shofar, the middle of the tekiah shofar is the crying, but the tekiah shofar is sandwiched with two different kolos. The kol that introduces the crying is a tekiah. Tekiah is not a cry. Tekiah is not a sob. A tekiah is something that says standing up straight. Tekiah kind of has the connotation of a straight kol. It's a declaration. It's a statement which is said without having necessarily breaking down. Then the tekiah at the end, following the middle trua, is also something which is a straight kol, which is something which doesn't invoke any crying, any weeping, or any sobbing. So what is this all about? What is this imagery that the Torah is telling us about the mitzvah tekiah shofar? That you start out the mitzvah tekiah shofar straight, you start out proud, you start up standing up straight, then all of a sudden you break down in the middle. And then when you gain your composure again, then you conclude the tekiah shofar again with the tekiah after the shmarms and the truas. So what is this all about? So this appears to be the Rambam's shevach, bakrosh, and hodoya. That when you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first three brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei, most people aren't crying at that point. You're being mishadech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, when you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're recounting the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not a reason to cry. That's not something to break down about. Then you stand straight like an Evidus Nehemelech, like I'm staying the shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's derech tekiah. Then when you get to the middle brachas, when you really need a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when you get to Rafa'inim, when you get to Mevarech HaShonim, when you get to Yerushalayim Yerachim, when you get to the Tzrachim, when you get down to the nitty gritty, when you get to the things that rend your heart, so that's when the Bechi comes, that's when the Demol start to come. Then when you finish, then when you get to Moedi Benachem Fenachem, you get to Atov Shimcha L'Chana Hodos, when you get to thank you Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you're in a much better mood again. Then you put on a smile again, and usually not crying by the Modim, but the Modim laugh wow, Baruch Hashem, look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for me. So that idea that the Shemoneh Esrei, which is patterned after the concept of Tefillah, that Tefillah begins straight, then Tefillah, then you break down the middle of Tefillah, and then you conclude the Tefillah straight. So that's Mamash the Tekiyah Shofar. The Tekiyah Shofar begins straight, begins with the Tekiyah, that's the Mamash HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you break down, and then the Teruah gets to your heart, and your heartstrings, and your sobbing, and your wailing uncontrollable. That's the middle, and then you control yourself, you put your act together again, and then you come to the last key, and the last key of following the true, and that's the Moed Manachu, that's the thanking of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So perhaps, the Erech Moshel, that idea that the Kiyah Shofar has three different stages to it, that parallels the concept of the Rambam, the concept of Tefillah, having three different stages to it as well. This idea that Kiyah Shofar is a Kiyum of Tefillah, so we've already pointed out that this is true both in terms of the chetz of the shofar, in terms of what the shape of the shofar is, in terms of how one positions the shofar in one's mouth, how the tekiyah is supposed to take place. This idea is expressed by the Ramban very clearly in the Melchamos, in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, so we spoke a little bit about on the Wednesday night shiur, that we know the Gemara tells us that there are two different times when we blow the shofar. We blow the shofar to what's called the tekiyah is the meyushav and the tekiyah is the meumar, and most of the Rishon, at least we're going to assume now, that the tekiyah is the meyushav are those tekiyahs that we blow before Shemoneh Esrei, and then the Tekiyas Tamu Umad are those which we blow in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, again, different minhagim, even in just in the Chazal Sashat, even in the silent Shemoneh Esrei, but the Tekiyas Tamu Umad are the second half of Tekiyah Shofar. So already the Rishonim are bothered, when we blow the Tekiyas Tamu Umad, are we really supposed to blow all the different permutations that we blow before Moses? So we know we're very, very machmen Tekiyah Shofar, we blow Shvam Truas and Shvarams and Truas, we blow every different possible combination to be, I'd say. And then when it comes to Chazal Sashat, so we're also familiar that we also blow those permutations again. We blow again Tashrats and Tashats and Taras, we blow as much during the Chazal Sashat as we blow before Moses. But that's what our meaning is, that wasn't the universal meaning, and still not the universal minhag. There were many communities in Bavel, the old minhag was that they did not blow, when they blew during Chazal Sashat, they blew much, much less than we blow. They would blow one time Tekiyah Shvam through a Tekiyah for Malchiyot, they would blow one time Tekiyah Shvam, Tekiyah for Zichronos, and one time Tekiyah through a Tekiyah for Shofars. That's it. Ad kan v'lo yosher. So the Ramban says, why is that? Why don't we have to be so machmer during the Shemoneh Esrei the same way we were machmer before Shemoneh Esrei? So the Ramban suggests that the Tekiyah that we blow before Shemoneh Esrei, that's the mitzvah deraita of Tekiyah Shofar. That's Yom Teruah Yeluchem, so we better get it right. You gotta get every permutation of Teruah properly. But the Tekiyahs that we blow during Chazal Sashat are not really the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar, says the Ramban. They're the mitzvah of Tefillah. They're the mitzvah, says the Ramban. He gives the marshal that we started off the shiur with, of Tekiyah Sechat Tzotzeros. But just as the Torah tells us that you have to blow Chat Tzotzeros on an Eis Tzara, so blowing is a form of Tefillah. So who had the Nami? When it comes to Rosh Hashanah also requires a tefillah. Tefillah is not only with words, tefillah is derech kolos as well. The tekiyas and the truos have a din tefillah, and therefore the Ramban says, it doesn't really matter exactly what the truah sounds like. It's not ma'akev, whether the truah is like this, whether it's a shvarm, it's a truah, shvarm, truah, it doesn't really matter. When you're dealing with a mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, then the Torah gives us a shiur, the truah has to sound like this. And since there are different opinions as to what like this means, therefore we have no choice, we have to blow everybody's possible truah. When it comes to the tekiyas of Chazal Sashat, so that's a different tekiyah shofar. It also uses the vehicle of a shofar, but it's a very different mitzvah. That's a mitzvah of tefillah, that's not a mitzvah of shofar. So we've been suggesting this whole yisod that within the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar there's an element of tefillah, but the Ramban is telling us that's true, but the Ramban is saying that there are two different aspects of tekiyah shofar. Tekiyah shofar is both the mitzvah of tekiyah, which is a gzeres hakosov, which is the Ora L'tshuva, whatever we spoke about at the beginning of the year, that's the Tekiyas de Meyushav, and then the Tekiyas de Me'umah, then the element of Tefillah kicks in. So whether you say it like the Ramban, or you say it like we were saying, at the end of the day, everybody seems to be saying the same yourself. Everyone's agreeing to the same principle, that clearly the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar has something to do with Tefillah. The Rav used to say there's an obvious proof that Tefillah and Tekiyas are related to one another just by the mere fact that we blow Shofar in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Something which is bizarre. There's no other mitzvah that we do in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Let's say we daven Ma'ariv Pesach night, so we don't stop in the middle of Ma'ariv, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and sit down and eat a piece of matzah. But it comes Purim night, so we don't stop in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and start reading the Megillah. Who does mitzvahs in the middle of Tefillah? You daven. You do mitzvahs on your time, you daven another time. So what kind of mitzvah? is this, that you blow shofar in the middle of the tefillah, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? It doesn't make any sense. So the answer is, no, it makes a lot of sense. That if Tekiyah Shofar was pure mitzvah b'alma, just this, the cost of chaykim ufanim, it wasn't related to tefillah, so that would make no sense. But since Tekiyah Shofar is hihi akiyim of tefillah, so it makes perfect sense that the Tekiyah goes hand in hand with the tefillah. The Tekiyah is not a hefsek in the tefillah. The Tekiyah enhances the tefillah. So we've developed this yourself based on several rayas, this idea that Rosh Hashanah is a miyuchad as a yom tefillah, as an eis tzara kwenter about, as a tefillah d'araisa, and the mitzvah kiyah shofar is also an enhancement of tefillah. So we have to stop and ask ourselves, well, what exactly do these words mean? What do we mean when we're saying this idea that kiyah shofar is a din tefillah? What kind of tefillah is that? Usually we associate tefillah with holding a siddur, you say Baruch Atah Hashem, saying words, you're Meshabeach, you're being Mevachish, you're being Modeh. Usually we know that tefillah is a mitzvah that a person performs with one's mouth, a person expresses words. What kind of tefillah is this, the tefillah of Tekiyah Shofar? How in the world is Tekiyah Shofar going to really be a din tefillah? We know that it is. We see clearly from many rayos from the Gemara and the Rishonim that there's an aspect, an element of tefillah within Tekiyah Shofar. But what does this mean? How do we understand this idea in the light of the fact that tefillah usually means something very different than actual Tekiyah Shofar? So we started out the shiur this morning by saying that the marker for tefillah, the Gemara Maseches Tainis says, is la'avdo b'chol levavchem, that it's primarily a mitzvah shebelev. So we know in the Torah that there are many mitzvahs that are given to us which are mitzvahs bepeh, which are mitzvahs shebedibur, many mitzvahs that we have to perform with our mouth. Let's say the mitzvah of kriyashma. You wouldn't call kriyashma a mitzvah shebelev. Kriyashma is a mitzvah shebepeh. Let's say brichas ha-mozim. Brichas ha-mozim is not a mitzvah shebelev. Brichas ha-mozim is a mitzvah shebepeh. See Pesias Mitzrayim. That's a mitzvah shebepeh. To such an extent that the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos in the third parak that hiru lav kedibur domi. Let's say a person, for whatever reason, can't say the Shema. A person can't bench. So could they just think the words? Could they just sit back and just think? They'll put their hand over their eyes. They'll think of Shema Yisrael Hashem Mekesh HaMechad. So that we pass in Allah, that's not acceptable. We pass a hiru lav kedibur domi. A person, for whatever reason, doesn't want to say the words of Brachos HaMazon, so he's not going to be Yaitzeh, but just thinking. He'll read the Bencher, he'll read through every word, he's not Yaitzeh. That these mitzvahs are mitzvah shebedibah, mitzvah shebepeh, and hiru lav kedibur domi. The pashas in Allah is that that's a din min haTorah, that just thinking the words is not acceptable. Nevertheless, the Magen Avraham writes that he thinks that tefillah is different. Let's say a person, for whatever reason, doesn't say the words of tefillah, he just thinks the words. He thinks that, opens up the siddur, and he thinks Baruch HaShem. So the Magen Avraham says he thinks that min haTorah he would be yotzeh. He wouldn't be yotzeh mid the Rabbanon. He wouldn't be yotzeh the takanas acham of tefillah. The takanas acham of tefillah is a mitzvah shebedibor, but the mitzvah the arayis of tefillah would be yotzeh. So it comes out that kriyashma b'chas hamazon and kiddush and sikdus mitzrayim, you're not yotzeh even mid the arayisa with hero, with just thinking the words. But when it comes to tefillah, you would be yotzeh. Manishtan a tefillah from all the other mitzvahs. So the Magen Avraham says he thinks the difference is very simple. But when it comes to tefillah, the Torah says of the b'chol levavchem. The Torah says the word lev. So if the Torah defines tefillah as la'av the b'chol, it doesn't say la'av the b'chol pichem. It says, but it says the kriyashma says v'dibartabam. It says you have to say the words. But when it comes to tefillah, the Torah Gufa describes the mitzvah of tefillah as an avedish shebelev. So it's very hard to believe that you wouldn't be yaitzeh with just tefillah shebelev. To such an extent, this Magen Avraham seems to be correct that the sefer mitzvahs kotzer, one of the Bali Atosis, wrote a sefer ha-mitzvos. So he divides up the mitzvahs in a very interesting way. He doesn't divide them up according to the parshios. He divides them up according to the different mitzvahs that are done with the different organs of a person's body. So some mitzvahs you do with your ear, and some mitzvahs you do with your mouth, and some mitzvahs you do with your hands, and some mitzvahs you do with your feet. So he divides up the mitzvahs accordingly. So the mitzvah of kriyashma, that's a mitzvah of the peh. The mitzvah of sefer tzitzan, that's a mitzvah of the peh. The mitzvah of tefillah, the sefer mitzvahs kotzer, the smach puts into the category of mitzvah shebelev. He puts it into the mitzvahs like Amunah Bashem. Those mitzvahs that you don't have to say anything, you don't have to express anything. He defines tefillah as being a mitzvah shebelev. This is Mamash like the Magen Avraham. That basically the real tefillah of your eyes is really tefillah shebelev. It's really the connection between your heart and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So true, lemais, aloch lemais, shukhanach, you have to say the words. That is true. You're not yaitzeh tefillah mid the rabbanon if you don't say the words, but tefillah of your eyes is basically primarily a tefillah shebelev. The concept of lev plays such a critical role in tefillah that we know that kavanah is ma'akev in tefillah. There are technical details as to what when one has to have kavana, what kavana is, how one has kavana. But the idea of a tefillah shlo b'kavana is primarily not really a tefillah. By other mitzvahs, a person puts on tefillah without having kavana, you know, he's not really paying attention to what he's doing. All right, ishka frelach, so he's basically, I'd say, a person does other mitzvahs without really paying too much attention to what he's doing. He's basically, I'd say, tefillah without at least a bare minimum semblance of kavana is not really a tefillah b'chlal. So the idea of kavana saleh plays a critical role in terms of tefillah to such an extent that if you have to think of the hierarchy, what's the more important part of tefillah? Is the more important part of tefillah the saying of the words? Well, the more important part, the Kavanas Aleih, so probably the Kavanas Aleih is more important. Again, I'm not advocating people should just not say the words for tefillah, that would also be a problem. But in terms of the more significant aspect, tefillah clearly says tefillah should be laid. So perhaps this is the idea that Tekiah Shofar is trying to drive home to us as well. We come to the Ribbono Shel Olam on Rosh Hashanah, and we daven a very long davening, and the Musaf is a very, very long Musaf, and the Shacharis is a long Shacharis, and there are a lot of words, and Piyut, and a lot of extra things that we say on Rosh Hashanah. And true, yes, we're supposed to be davening a lot on Rosh Hashanah, Chazal V'Kaveya, 9 brachas on Rosh Hashanah, different from the rest of the year. So clearly tefillah is critical on Rosh Hashanah, but the question becomes, so what exactly tefillah means? So we have a lot of tefillah b'peh on Rosh Hashanah, but perhaps the Torah instituted for us a specific tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, which is the tefillah shebalev, dafka, not a tefillah shebepeh. And what is that tefillah? That's the tefillah p'kiyah shofar. P'kiyah shofar, the Farshim call it the tefillah without words. It's a davening which doesn't have a nusach to it. There are no words to it. What goes into the Kiyah Shofar, what I'm thinking about in my Kiyah Shofar, is not what you're thinking about your Kiyah Shofar. Each person is thinking about something else. There's a famous story from the Baal Shem Tov, that when they were interviewing people who was going to be the Baal Tekeah. So he would ask them, so what are you thinking about the Torah of Kiyah Shofar? So this one would come and say, I'm thinking about the Eilim Etzal Yoinim and this and that. And the other one would say, I'm thinking about the Shofar of Mashiach and Kibbutz Goliath. Hey, we're going to give a hem the hair of the... And the sister would tell what he's thinking about. Then there was a Prussian Yid who came to interview to be the Baal Tekeah. So the Baal Shem Tov asked him, what are you thinking about? He's saying, listen, Rabbi, I have 5 daughters to marry. I don't have any money. I'm not going to show from the Rabbani Shalom. Help, please help. The Baal Shem Tov hired him as the Baal Tekeah. So again, that's a Chiddush story. So what's the Yisod of the story? The Yisod of the story is that Kiyah Shofar is different from tefillah. Tefillah, so the words, so the regular tefillah, the maximum says the same words. But Kiyah Shofar, so there are no words to be said. So each person is connecting to their Baruch Shalom in the way that they're able to connect. Each person's life is connected to their Baruch Shalom in the way that they're able to. So Kiyah Shofar is a very powerful form of tefillah. It's the Kavanah Saleh, Heine and Advar. It's the tefillah that we have in Rosh Hashanah, but it's the Ein Lechala of the B'chol Abarchem, called the Mizeh. Perhaps there's another dimension which is important, not just for Rosh Hashanah, it's really important in terms of our perspective on tefillah in general, but the significance of a tefillah without words. So we know that very often we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam with requests, and we come very often with a long shopping list, exactly the Ribbono Shel Olam, we'd like exactly this, and exactly this amount of money, and exactly this, and this refuah, and exactly the shidduch, and whatever the case may be, we know. We ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for very, very specific things. So one has to be very careful when you dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam about very specific things, because sometimes we're very short-sighted in our perspective as to what we think is really good for us or not. So a person should try to dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should do what's good. We should dive into him that he should fulfill whatever our needs are, but who defines what our needs are? So we shouldn't fall into the rut of thinking that we define what our needs are, that we're 100% Chacham, and we know exactly what we need, exactly what's good for us. Sometimes what we think may be good for us, say we dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to get this particular job. Then you get the particular job and you realize it's a disaster. You're miserable at this job. Person davens, they want to get a particular shidduch or something, and it's not right for him. So a person has to always be careful to when you start to come to Kadosh Baruch Hu with specific needs. So you have to always, you know, touch it up a little bit. Ribbono Shel Olam, at the end of the day, I trust you. At the end of the day, I'm davening to you whatever you think that I need, whatever you think is the best for me, whatever you think is the best for Klal Yisrael. What we may think is the best is not necessarily the best. That's what they say, Derech Remez, on the Pasuk, Ritzon Yirev Yasef, Yesh Avosa Mishmav Yashiyem. So Ritzon Yirev Yasef, a person's a Yirei Shemai, and they daven to Ribbono Shel Olam, he's going to do what you ask for. If you ask him for this job, you ask him for this. If you're a Yirei Shemai, Ritzon Yirev, he'll do it for you. And then what's going to happen? If it turns out that it was the wrong thing, then when you come screaming to him 6 months later, hey, Ribbono Shel Olam, why'd you do that? Why'd you listen to that terrible tefillah there? He'll get you out of that rut also. So we should try to avoid the rut in the first place. So we should formalize that tefillah, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should answer that tefillah, that he should answer that tefillah in the way that he sees fit, because ultimately only a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's really best for us. So perhaps that's another dimension of Kiyah Shofar as well, that we spend so much time davening Rosh Hashanah, we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu so many things, And then at the end of the day, we get to the ultimate tefillah. The height of our tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah is the Tekiah Shofar. And we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't even know exactly what we should be asking for. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to blow a trua, Ramaki Halev, we're going to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, you decide. You put in the words. We're asking you, please give us a good year. We're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for a good year. We're not exactly sure what the details of that good year are. Ribbono Shel Olam, we trust you. You're the one. You fill in. We give you a blank check. You fill in the amount. You fill in who to write it out to. You fill in all the details. We're going to daven. We're going to blow a shvarim and a trulis and tekiyas, which don't have any name on it. They don't have any amount on it. We don't know what we're asking for anymore. Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever you see fit, that's what you suppose. That's what we hope and pray that you're going to do for us. So perhaps this idea of tekiyas shofar is being a kiyum of tefillah. It's a very unique kiyum of tefillah. It's that aspect of tefillah that cannot be linked to words. It's that aspect of tefillah that's a tefillah min halev, and it's that aspect of tefillah that doesn't have a specific address on it, doesn't have a specific request to it. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, we should be zocher, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to a tefillah from the Rosh Hashanah, so he should plug in the right amount, and he should print in exactly where it's going, and hopefully all of that tefillah should be oil the rot, and our tefillahs, and our tekiyos, and as we say in the davening, after we blow shofar, we say, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he understands what to do with that tekiyas. We may not understand, but he's the maid and umaz, and hopefully he should be makabel all that tefillas and that tekiyas barach.